This is Radio Heartland on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Dale Connolly. Thank you for listening. This hour's guest on Radio Heartland, Bill Staines, a master songwriter. Starting off with this one, a song written from an encounter with, well, exactly what you might imagine, an old dog.
Old dogs lie beside the door. They toss and turn and scratch and snore. They fight again their puppy wars, with playful battles raging. Old dogs lie alone at night. They tuck their tails, they curl up tight. They howl when moons are full and bright. Recall when they were lovers. Old dogs have a song to sing. Old dogs like most everything. They care not what the weather brings, except when it is thunder. Old dogs look you in the eye. They hold your heart, they never lie. Bark at planes up in the sky and wish that they were flyers. Old dogs dream about the past, and they frolic fields of golden grass and chase the icy winter's blast to lie by home fires burning. Old dogs wander off alone. Old dogs know the way back home. The slightest scent, the buried bone, hunter home returning. Old dogs come and old dogs go. Old dogs always seem to know that love is life's most precious flow. Love is worth the waiting. When their time on earth is through, old dogs are forever true. And round the bend they wait for you. Come some tomorrow morning. When their time on earth is through, old dogs are forever true. And round the bend they wait for you. Come some tomorrow morning. When their time on earth is through, old dogs are forever true. And round the bend they wait for you. Come some tomorrow morning.
Bill Staines in the studio here on Radio Heartland with Old Dogs. That was very nice. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, that's a song, and I know you've written a lot of songs, and that's a song that kind of sounds and feels like the song that a guy can write in his 40s and 50s, maybe, but not in his 20s. You wouldn't even approach something like that.
Well, you know, it's I guess I've been trying to bring something of value to people, you know, through my songwriting, and so I guess as you get older, you tend to write more about things that are great things, you know, and I mean, living and dying and home and family and work and
yeah, the biggies,
all these things that everybody can relate to. Yeah. You know?
And you teach songwriting, and you certainly have written a lot of songs. Do you think that there is a prime time for songwriters? I mean, you know, the brain is very mysterious, and we know it changes as you age. I mean, have you felt like more power as a songwriter at certain times in your life than others?
I think, you know, I mean, obviously, when you're exposed to new things and new experiences and new people and so on, that brings something that's really kind of fiery to your life, you know, and so you can write a lot of songs that are really, you know, emotional and things like that. I think one of the things that happens to, I think generally to anybody, is there are more things to do in your life as you get older. And so it's like, well, do I write a song or do I mow the lawn? and sometimes, you know, you have to be careful you don't start running away from it and making excuses for it. But I think that, you know, I'm always happy with my songwriting. I'm not writing as much as I used to. Because I've written about a lot of things, you know, it's like I'll experience something and I'll realize the fact that I've already written a song about it, and so that has something to do with it. The Old Dog song, for instance, I'd spent all day long trying to write a song and nothing was happening at all, and I was going to dinner at our neighbor's house, and they had this old dog, and I was walking up their driveway, and this old dog came galumphing down, and I said, "Yeah, Oakley, you old dog, you." And the light went on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's what I'm going to write about, you know, yeah. Old dogs.
Did you have to skip the dinner then, or are you just working on it while you were going through
No,
the
I didn't skip the dinner, but I spent the next day. It took me about 2 days to write that song. Yeah. There's sort of, to me, there are two types of writers. There are people who live to write, and then there are people who live to live and then write about it. And I'm sort of the second class, you know. I don't get up every day and say, I need to write a song because I'm a songwriter. It's never been an easy thing for me, writing songs. I think the melodies are actually fairly easy to write. They kind of fall out of me. But really having something to say and saying it well is the tough part.
Yeah. Well, on melodies, do you have a technique for keeping those fresh, or is it mysterious to you?
I think a lot of it has to do with having been exposed to all kinds of music in my life. I think one of the, you know, I say there are really two elements to writing a song that will last, and it's a compelling melody and a compelling set of lyrics. And there are little musical motifs that, to the Western ear, I mean, I could explain that are very powerful motifs. The descending bass line, you know. I know a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. And that's Paco Bell's Canon, you know, and it's the same thing. River, take me along. I mean, that's one of those little musical motifs that are very powerful to the Western ear. And there are four or five other ones, too. And so you find those in what people consider beautiful melodies. And I think a lot of it has to do also with listening to a lot of classical music, listening to the great melody makers. I think that's perhaps something that we're missing in the young songwriters nowadays, is a real compelling sense of melody. And I think a lot of it has to do with just not taking the time to listen to the great composers. And even beyond that, people like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and old hymns and places where the most beautiful melodies are, you mm-hmm. know, because they'll bleed through into your own creativity.
And did you do that? Listen to the classics?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
And was that by choice, or was it just in the environment for you?
I just love the melodies. I just love the melodies and the great classical pieces, you know. And, I mean, you know, I listen to things like The Great Gate of Kiev at the end of Pictures at an Exhibition, and I think it's just like, that's one of the most powerful melodies in the world. And I'm sure that somewhere in my songwriting, there's something from that, something from that piece of music.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I don't know where or what, but or when, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Sorry, Mussorgsky.
Right.
Bill Staines is visiting here on Radio Heartland from Minnesota Public Radio. Was it a musical household for you? Were there musicians in the family, or are you the odd one?
No, actually, my whole family has been musical. My immediate family has been musical. My parents were not professional musicians, but my mother played the piano, and my father played the violin, and he played in a lot of like local church string quartets and things like that, but not really professionally. And then my brother is a musician, my parents were very supportive along the way, you know. I mean, I got out of high school and I was singing in the coffee houses. And never went to college or anything like that. I was just I went to work for Sears Roebuck for 5 years while I was singing in the coffee houses, and then I made a choice to become a musician.
Yeah, otherwise you would still be selling washing machines today.
Or fixing lawnmowers.
Well, was there an epiphany? Was there a moment where you realized, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, there was, the vocation part of it was really, I was playing in the coffee houses more and more, and then I have to go to work, and then I would do things like play in Montreal and have to drive 5 or 6 hours after the Sunday night concert and be at work on Monday morning. And I had more concerts than I could deal with and work at the same time. And so I just quit and became a full-time musician. But it was, you know, it was a lot easier to start out back then because the coffee houses were such a social scene that even if it were a Wednesday night and nobody knew your name, the places would have a fair amount of people in them. So if you had something to offer, then it was easy to go on beyond that.
Were there times along the way where you thought, you know, I better start going to Plan B?
No, not really. I mean, I think when my son was born, I really had to sort of look at that Harry Chapin song, "The Cat in the Cradle," you know, but it's a very true song. I mean, you have to pay the bills and you have to be on the road. And so, I think I was aware at various points in my life when I had to be careful. And the other thing is that I always look forward to the next day. It's like I have these things called little victories. And they're, you know, I mean, somebody, and they're not necessarily tangible things, but somebody, for instance, I wrote the song about Charles Lindbergh and Anne Morrow Lindbergh flying around in this airplane, the Ting Masartok, and this fellow came up to me and he said, you know, I really like that song, and my father was their preacher when the Lindbergh baby was stolen back in 1930, and he had all of this stuff, and he gave me a signed copy of this book by Charles Lindbergh, and that's a tangible thing. But nevertheless, it was a connection that you make with somebody. Or you'll get a phone call saying, you know, somebody, I heard your song being played on an icebreaker in Antarctica or something like that. That's a little victory. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but, you know, and 99% of the time, those don't happen. But is that other, you know, you wake up in the morning and you say, what's it going to be today? I mean, who am I going to meet? What's going to happen today? I mean, I might not even make it through the day. You don't know.
Right.
But what kind of little victory is going to fall into my lap today? And then at the end of the day, you go, well, nothing happened today, but but maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow is another day.
and that really keeps you going. That really keeps you going.
Bill Staines visiting here on Radio Heartland with another song. Are you going to do Savannah for us?
I will. This is another song off the latest album. Savannah, sing your song for me. That a lazy tune in a live oak tree. In my heart you will always be a sunny southern girl. Watch a river slip away. Come follow me, it seems to say. Like Mercer's moon on a magic day, we'll be off to see the world. I can hear your Sunday steeple bells ring out the tunes that I know so well. Hear the voices rise, the praises swell, neath the neon Jesus saves. Beneath your blue and endless skies, the seabirds call, the time slips by. The shrimp boats leave on the morning tide and roll out across the waves. I was told that sometime way back when, with your beauty bold and your pride unbent, you were given as a present to a president while the war around you swirled. Savannah, sing a song for me, that a lazy tune in a live oak tree. You're older now, but you'll always be that sunny southern girl. Along your quaint and quiet streets, neath silver moss the lovers meet. Down flowered paths by the jasmine sweet, they step out across the square. Magnolia shade, the old cafe, from the burning sun at the height of day. I've been gone so long, now I'm on my way to Savannah, ever fair. I was told that sometime way back when, with your beauty bold and your pride unbent, you were given as a present to a president while the war around you swirled. Savannah, sing a song for me. That a lazy tune in a live oak tree. You're older now, but you'll always be that sunny southern girl. You're older now, but you'll always be that sunny southern girl.
Bill Staines, live in the studio with Savannah here on Radio Heartland. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Was there any moment of hesitation there when you started in on that one and thought, hey, I'm a guy from New England. I don't know if the people in Savannah will want me to write a song for them.
Well, my son was going to school in Savannah at the time, yeah. And so we actually have a little cottage outside of Savannah that he was living in. Sometimes you feel like, you know, if you're writing a song about a truck driver or something like that, you've never been a truck driver, well, you're maybe treading on thin ice, you know, but then again, I drive 70,000 miles a year, so I'm stopping at truck stops and I know the same roads and the whole thing, so that the lifestyle is the same. Or I wrote a song about a bush pilot in Alaska and I was going, well, gee, it's like, let me write about your life. Let me tell you what your life is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little dangerous at times, but then they interviewed him for a newspaper article and he mentioned one of the lines from my song. Sometimes you go, maybe I shouldn't be writing about this. But on the other hand, if you're a writer, you write about everything.
Yeah? Are there songs that you've tossed aside for reasons like that? Maybe after you've written it and played it, you start to think, oh, that doesn't feel right or it sounds false.
Well, not really, because I've always been really careful. Many, many years ago, I think on one of my very, very first album, I wrote a song called Prairie Winds. And one of the lines in it was something, and like prairie winds, they soon are gone. And somebody came up to me one time and said, you've never lived on the prairie. Prairie winds are never gone. And so I went, you know, maybe I better be careful from now on and make sure I know what I'm talking about here.
Bill Staines visiting here on Radio Heartland, a guy known for his performing and his songwriting, which you continue to do, although you've been writing with a keyboard lately.
Yeah, I've written so many songs on the guitar. It's just the keyboard is, I tell people, you wouldn't hire me to play keyboards. So it's playing the piano is an exciting thing for me. I mean, I discover things every day that somebody who can play the keyboards has known for years, you know, but they're new to me. And so it's like, wow, where did that chord come from? How do I get it again? What was it? It's this passing thing that sounded nice in my life here.
So it's a place where there can be a happy accident that you wouldn't get on the guitar because you know the guitar too well, maybe.
Right.
But then you can't play them on the guitar because you don't know how to find that chord.
Well, some of them travel to the guitar and some of them don't. It's probably, I'd say 50-50. There are songs that I write that I really like a lot, but they just don't travel to the guitar, so I can't do them in person, but I'll record them. And so they'll be on an album or something like that, but you won't hear me do them in concert because I can't do them.
Because you can't sit down there and play them. You'd need to hire a piano player then.
Yeah, if I could afford one, that would be fine.
It would be one way to go, I suppose.
But the two songs, Savannah and Old Dogs, were written on the keyboard, and they traveled to the guitar. I think, I can't remember who it was talking about. Some songwriters, it's like there are people who write 100 songs a year and keep 10. And then there are people who write 10 songs and keep them all.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, if I've written a song and I like the song, I really don't want to lose it. So I know that it's going to go on a recording someplace. I did the songbook one time, and this is sort of the introduction to the songbook. But people who are artists will say, well, I don't have any children, you know. I mean, I do have a son, but people will say, well, my dances, the dances that I've created are my children, or my artwork, the pieces that I've done, stained glass pieces, they're my children. And in some sense, that's true. But in songwriting, it's very true, because I look at it this way. You write a song, and the song is now it's – in the world, it's been born. If you don't nurture it, if you don't sing the song, it dies. And so, I mean, nobody knows the song. It's a brand new thing. It's, you know, it's there and you're supporting it. by singing it or performing it or getting it out to some people or whatever it is. And then if it's strong enough, if it's healthy enough, it begins to grow. And then after a while, it starts to develop the same way a child does. It starts to develop relationships with people that way down the line eventually don't have anything to do with you anymore. Your yeah. song has grown up.
Bill Stain's in the studio. So will you do, do one of those songs for us?
One called River. I was born in the path of the winter wind, raised where the mountains roll. Their springtime waters came dancing down. I remember the tales they told, the whistling ways of my younger days too quickly have faded on by. But all of their memories, they linger on like the light in a fading sky. River, take me along in your sunshine. Sing me your song, ever moving and winding and free. You rolling, oh river, you changing, oh river. Let you and me, river, run down to the sea. Well, I've been to the city, and I've been back again, and I've been moved by some things that I've learned. Met a lot of good people, and I've called them friends. Felt the change when the seasons turn. I've heard all the songs that the children sing, and I've listened to love's melodies. I felt my own music within me rise like the wind in the autumn trees. River, take me along in your sunshine. Sing me your song, ever moving and winding and free. You roll in, oh river, you change, oh river, let you and me, river, run down to the sea. Someday when the flowers are blooming still, someday when the grass is still green, my rolling waters will round the bend and flow into the open sea. So here's to the rainbow that's followed me here, and here's to the friends that I know, and here's to the song that's within me now. I will sing it where I go. River, take me along in your sunshine. Sing me your song, ever moving and winding and free. You roll in, oh river, you changing, oh river, let you and me, river, run down to the sea. River, take me along in your sunshine. Sing me your song, ever moving and winding and free. You roll in, oh river, you changing, oh river, let you and me, river, run down to the sea.
Bill Stain's on Radio Heartland doing a song of his in the studio, River. Thanks to Bill for stopping by. Thanks to Craig Thorson for engineering in the studio.